Good morning again. Welcome to Godspeak Calvary Chapel. I want you to just take a minute, and it's such a beautiful day. Just look up through the window that's behind me at the empty cross on the mountain. That's what we're celebrating today. It's Resurrection Day. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. If this is your first time or you're an occasional visitor here, I pray that you do feel welcome. And at home, thank you for coming. We don't take an offering, but we do take time to stop and thank the Lord for his provision. And we want to do that. And as well, we just want to open by praying for our nation and for our leaders and for those who are in harm's way as soldiers serving their country, as well as for those of you who are parents or grandparents of soldiers. We want to just stop and pray and put those matters into God's hands. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we can gather here to celebrate you, to celebrate our risen Jesus. And Lord, you are the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We want to thank you also for your provision and for your blessing in our lives. And Lord, there are many who have supported this ministry, and for all of those, I just want to say thank you. Would you bless the hands that have given to support the ministry here at Godspeak and who have supported your ministries all around the world? Lord, would you take what they have given and would you use it to continue taking your kingdom to the ends of the earth? Heavenly Father, we thank you. And Lord, right now we do pray for our nation in the midst of this ordeal, this trial, that we are walking through. We pray for our president, President Trump. We pray for the leaders. Lord, would you be guiding all of their decisions? May they be walking according to good and right and righteous counsel, Heavenly Father. And may you, Lord, uphold the cause of the righteous, as you say you will. And Lord, for our soldiers who are in harm's way, would you watch over and keep them and protect them, Heavenly Father? And Lord, for all of those who are parents or grandparents or relatives of people who are serving in the military right now, would you grant them peace, even as they are here? Would you give them peace to know that their sons and daughters are in your good hands? All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was so enjoying the worship and listening to our worship team and to you all sing to our Lord right now. And, you know, last night, we have a service last night, and as I was coming home from our evening service, where we had also celebrated Resurrection Day, and I was thinking that, okay, we were celebrating in the evening, but in Thailand, they were celebrating Resurrection Day in the morning. I was thinking that as I was going home for the next 24 hours, as the world is turning, believers around the world would be getting up and celebrating, kind of like a wave at a football field, celebrating our Lord's resurrection. And you know, we all enjoy music well sung, in tune, in harmony. And I was just thinking of Jesus up there saying, for once, the whole church is on the same page of the book, singing the same song, and they're in tune. I pray our Lord is blessed today by the worship of him throughout around the world. On Friday, many of you gathered with us to remember Christ's death, Christ's passion, the cross, Calvary. So many important and beautiful truths come from the cross. Christ did go to the cross. He did die on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. And this morning, we're not remembering his death, as important as that is, because something else happened. Christ did not stay in the tomb. He did not stay dead. He arose. And today, this day we call Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, we consider the all-important truth that Jesus lives. We celebrate it, and hopefully you will come away understanding why it matters. Why Christ's resurrection matters to me. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24, and we do ask you to stand as we read God's word. So would you stand as we read Luke 24? We're just going to read 7 verses. If you don't have a Bible, they're passing them out. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they, the angel, said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for this season. We don't come here to mourn a dead Jesus. We come here to celebrate a risen Jesus. May that truth be evident and become clear to all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, all four Gospels record the very important story of the resurrection. Here in Luke 24, but also in Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, and John 20. As Christians, we don't worship a good but dead person. We don't visit Israel, as many of you have, to go visit Jesus's grave. We go instead and we find an empty tomb. All the other religions in the world have places or a place or places where they honor the dead body of their founder. But this morning we are celebrating a living Jesus as we remember his resurrection. Our founder, Jesus, is not dead but lives. Now, we don't necessarily know the day of Jesus' birth. We put a date to it, but we don't really know that's the right date. But we do know with precision the day of his death. It was on Passover, the 15th day of the month of Nisan of the Hebrew calendar, about 30 AD. That's 1,996 years ago. Additionally, we know with precision the day of his resurrection, 3 days later, on the morning of the Feast of First Fruits, because Jesus was the first fruits from the dead. The Sunday, which followed the Saturday Sabbath, which followed the Passover. Resurrection Day is always a Sunday. And so this is the day we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday, otherwise called Easter Sunday. Now, why does this matter? Why does it matter that Jesus rose after being crucified? Why can't we just agree that he was a good man and a good teacher and leave all this stuff about resurrection relegated to the twilight zone, out of our discussion, in what will be a short sermon? And that's, I'm sure, a relief to you. And a simple one, because I'm a simple person. I'm going to give you 3 reasons why Christ's resurrection matters. Why the resurrection is an all-important fact that we can't all just have our own opinion about, and that's okay. We can't agree to disagree on this issue. On this issue, you have to be all in or all out. First, it matters because it is the proof that Jesus is God. It's the proof of his deity. The resurrection proves that Jesus is God. Of all of our beliefs and doctrines which we hold fast to as Christians, none is more important than the simple but absolutely necessary fact that Christ rose from the dead. This is why we have the tradition of saying, "He is risen," and you respond, "He is risen indeed." When you repeat that, what are you doing? You are affirming that most important proof that proves Jesus to be God. In a sense, you are saying, Jesus is God indeed. Jesus said in John 11:25, a verse I will be referring to many times today, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this is what Jesus said? There's so much in that short statement of Jesus. Look at that word resurrection in the Greek, anastasis or anastasis. It means rising or recovering from death unto life. And Jesus states here that he is the rising from the dead. He is the recovering from death to life. There is no other resurrection. He is the one who accomplished it. He is the one who is accomplishing it. It comes by him. Resurrection starts with him. He ends that verse with a question, do you believe this? Belief in Christ's supernatural resurrection is one of two requirements the Bible gives us for salvation. Romans 10:9 reads, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That word Lord there, it means master. And in biblical usage, it's a title given to God and to the Messiah. Many people have believed that certainly there was a man named Jesus who walked the earth about 2,000 years ago. Many have believed that he was a good man with wise teachings. Many have even believed that he was in fact crucified. But what makes you a true Christian, a born-again Christian, and differentiates you from all those who simply believe that Jesus was a good man who died tragically, is that you first believe that he is God. He is the promised Messiah. And secondly, that by God's power, he was raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is an unavoidable truth that we must accept and believe to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. On that Easter morning nearly 2,000 years ago, the disciples went to the tomb, but Jesus was not there. Now there's been critics from Jesus' day to today, even liberal theologians today who always try to explain away supernatural events. And even they continue to offer up explanations that are more appealing to our logical minds. But no, Jesus' body was not stolen. No, he did not simply swoon and then recover after a period of time from a near-death experience. No, the Bible is clear. He was surely dead. He was locked in a guarded tomb, closed with a large stone. Three soldiers watching him for 3 days, who knew if anything happened to that body, it was their life. The facts that are given to us in Scripture and what we by faith are asked to believe is that Jesus rose from the dead by the power of God on the third day. Paul speaks of the absolute necessity of this in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to start reading from verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to those Scriptures. Dropping down to verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, listen to this passage. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we are found to be false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead do not rise. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith, my faith, is futile. You're still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if there is no resurrected Christ, we of all people are to be the most pitied. What we celebrate today is the foundation, the very cornerstone of our faith. The gospel cannot be the gospel without the resurrection. The good news, there is no good news if there is no resurrection. There is now no salvation if there is no resurrection. So what does the resurrection prove? It proves that Jesus is who he says he was. He was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Son of God, not a God, the God, the one and only God. Paul opens the book of Romans, chapter 1, with these words. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know, many of you, if not most of you, are here today because you understand and embrace and live the importance of the resurrection, of this day that we're celebrating. But maybe there's a very good chance that you are here simply because that's what you do on Easter. You go to church. However you came, just give me your attention for a second. However you came today, I want you to allow yourself to be confronted by the truth that emerges as you answer these questions. Because you can't go forward in Christianity, in being a believer in Jesus Christ, without first allowing yourself to be confronted by this truth. Do I believe there was a man named Jesus? Most of you would say, yes. Do I believe that he was put to death on the cross? Maybe some of you are slightly skeptical about that, but you'd say, maybe, yes, I guess so. But here's the third one. Do I believe that he was proved to be God by the fact that he rose from the dead and that he is, in fact, who he says he is, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? You know, that's the hard one. We have the Bible record, and we have all kinds, many evidences, historical evidences, archaeological evidence, anecdotal evidences, that if we're willing to look at, if we're really willing to engage and study, we will find that these point to the veracity of a risen Jesus. But ultimately, this truth, which is a truth that we need to accept, is one accepted by faith. You can't call yourself a Christian without first confronting and accepting this truth. I think for us today, one of the greatest testimonies of the veracity of Christ is the testimony of a changed life. Many of you know my story, my wife and I's story. We were in Uganda for many years. And I remember this was in 2006, and we had started a church, and we had just taken this plot of land and started the church. It was a tent. And it wasn't very many people in the church that day. That was an Easter day, 2006. Maybe 40 or 50 adults. Lots of children. And at the end of the service, during the service, I remember seeing this young man who stood out. He was just not typical Ugandan. He was more like a Rastafarian back there with dreads. And he looked spaced out. Honestly, I didn't know if he had spent the whole night at a bar or something. But he was there. And he was obviously listening, because when I gave the altar call at the end, he came forward. And I remember praying with him and being a little skeptical. I wonder if he actually knows what I'm praying with him. But you know what? And I'm going to come back to this story at the end. God got a hold of that young man's life who was so lost, who was on the road to destroying himself. God got a hold of his life. And today, if you went there, you would see just an amazing thing that God has done in his life. God changes people's lives, and that's the greatest testimony of the truth of a risen Savior. Secondly, Christ's resurrection matters because it provides for our salvation. Having allowed yourself to be confronted with that first truth, allow me to confront you with a second truth that is also unavoidable if you want to move forward as a believer in Jesus Christ. And what is that second truth? It's acceptance of the reality of who I am as a human being. I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I'm destined for an eternity with God or apart from God. And that totally depends on what I decide to do with this man named Jesus. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was an evangelist and a book writer. My other grandfather was a reverend and a missionary. My parents were missionaries. I grew up very much in a Christian cocoon. And I could say my parents and my grandparents were very good people. And I can say I was a pretty good person. I didn't do anything that I would call a heinous sin. I lived a pretty decent life. But you know what? I needed to come to the place where I recognized my need for a Savior. Even though my sin maybe wasn't public, maybe wasn't visible, maybe it didn't affect other people as much as other people's sin, nonetheless, my soul was as wretched and evil as anyone else's, and I needed to see a Savior just like anyone else. All of us, no matter who you are, no matter how perceived good and moral you are, no matter how rich or how smart or how connected or how much good you think you have accumulated in your lifetime that somehow greatly outweighs the little bit of bad that you've accumulated in your lifetime, all of us have sinned. That word sin means to miss the mark. We've done wrong before this God that maybe we've just been confronted with and acknowledge as true. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, Paul says, we are destined for punishment that we deserve. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. What does the Bible say we were before Christ saved us? We were dead in our sin. Ephesians 2:1, and you who were dead in trespass and sin, in which you once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, according to Satan, also once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Scripture says we were dead, destined for the wrath of God against sin, and our destination was destruction. But I thank the Lord for the little word but that is in the Bible. Listen to these three verses that have the words, but God. Romans 6:26, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Ephesians 2:4, we were by nature children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ, in the presence of the risen Savior. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Christ's death was necessary to atone for our sin, but his resurrection was necessary to bring us salvation. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. Do you see how belief in a living and resurrected Jesus is not just important, it's necessary. It's because Jesus lives that I have the opportunity to live as well. There's a hymn that I love, and I'm not going to sing it to you because my voice isn't that great, but you know the refrain, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth living because he lives. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the important question. Do you believe that this person named Jesus not only proved to be God by his resurrection, but also that that same Jesus can offer you, you and me, a sinner destined for judgment. He offers you salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and he offers you eternal life with him because of his resurrection. And that is not wages in return for something you have done. It is a gift. He offers it to you freely as you put your faith and your trust and your belief in him. Thirdly, Jesus' resurrection matters because it is the proof of his deity. It is the provision of salvation. But his resurrection matters because it is the power that God gives us to live by. It is the resurrected Christ power in us to live our Christian life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ is the life. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The resurrected Jesus is the life inside of Paul. The resurrected Jesus was the power inside of Paul. Life. Life is the gift all of us here have been given. Life is what we busy ourselves with. We try to find happiness. We try to find fulfillment and purpose and meaning. We want to live long lives. We want to live exciting lives. We want to leave a legacy for our children with our life. That's the life that we understand. But Scripture reveals another life, or maybe another level of life that we are invited to, and I'm going to call it the resurrection life. It is Christ's life and Christ's power in us, motivating us, guiding us, empowering us, giving a vision for something even greater that we don't have eyes for right now. It's that abundant life that Jesus refers to in John 10:10 when he says, I have come that you might have life, and that life more abundantly. Don't we all want abundant life? We love that picture. Jesus offers it. And it's not just for the future. It's not just talking about eternity in heaven. God redeemed our soul. He redeemed our life as well. He wants to use us on this earth to accomplish his mission. This resurrection life is the newness of life that Paul describes in Romans 6:4. He says, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we also should walk in newness of life. This is resurrection life. It's God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in us. Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body through his Spirit. And how do we receive that resurrection life? God's Spirit will enter into your life the moment you acknowledge your need for him. And you invite Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. This is salvation. This is being born again. This is resurrection life. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is the resurrection power that will not only save your soul, it's the resurrection power that will give you power to live by. Finishing that story I started earlier of that young man chief who came to the Lord that Easter Sunday of 2006. 2 years later, another Easter Sunday, our church was on the shore of Lake Victoria and subject to these windstorms and rainstorms that would come through. And on that particular Saturday night, a massive windstorm had come and literally taken every tent that we had and just wrecked it. Half of our tent was in the lake. And so we got down there early, and we were just heartbroken. We were, Satan's out to stop the good thing that God wants to do today. And we set about trying to piece this thing back together. And thankfully, by 9 o'clock, we had a tent put back up. We eventually had a building. But I remember starting that service, and I remember as we were starting, this man came down the path from the road. And he was all in white. He had a kind of a white turban on, and he had a white robe. And I was kind of startled. I was like, is that an angel or a Muslim? I'm not quite sure. But as he came down the road, I recognized him, and it was Chief. And he had this massive smile on his face, and as I got to talk to him, he said, because I hadn't seen him for 2 years, and I wondered, what ever happened to him? I wonder if that salvation took. Well, it turns out it did, and he went to Bible school for 2 years. He became a pastor, and he had just graduated from being from that Bible school, and he was coming down to let everyone know and to share that testimony, and that was in 2007, I believe, or 8. And then he went on, and he started a church right there in the community not far from where we are, and he got married to a wonderful American wife. And imagine that. Here was this street kid, Rastafarian, on his way to destroying himself, and God just turned his life around and is using him, not used him, using him even to this day to continue that message of bringing the gospel to that area. What a wonderful testimony of the changing power of Jesus Christ. But have you experienced the resurrection of power of Christ to save your soul? And is that resurrection power at work in your life today? Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, said, I am the resurrection. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's the question I leave with you today. And if you have never made that profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that this resurrection day of 2026 be the day that Jesus resurrects your soul. All you need to do is repent of your sins, turn towards him, and acknowledge, as Pastor Rob used to say, he is God and you are not, and you need him. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and invite him into your heart to dwell in you, and that he would be the Lord and Savior of your life. Revelations 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come him and live with him. Maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is knocking on the door of your heart. Will you open that door to him? I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm not going to make you stand or raise your hand, but I'm going to pray. And if that's you today, and you want to allow Jesus to come into your life and to be the Lord and Savior of your life, I want you to pray this prayer. Let's bow. Lord Jesus, I've heard your message to me today, and I am responding to you right now. I acknowledge that you are God, and I am not, and I desperately need you. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong, and I need and I ask for your forgiveness. By faith, I receive that forgiveness that you offer. And as you are knocking on the door of my heart, I open that door and ask you to come in and to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. May your resurrection power save my soul. By faith, I receive the salvation that you offer me, and by faith, I thank you that you have made me your child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me that same resurrection power to live this life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.